This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Grainfield Marketing in Normal. Grainfield Marketing can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at grainfield.com.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report for Friday, April 11th, 2008. This is Dave Dickey. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzalo of Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana. And later this half hour, Bruce Bostert of the Ludlow Co-op in Ludlow, Illinois, will discuss the cash grain market. In agricultural news, Farm Bill conferees accomplished little yesterday in a one-hour meeting. Also, USDA says taxpayers may have to pay more than $117 million for the largest beef recall in U.S. history. We'll have these and other stories this half hour, and we'll have a commentary from the Farm Bureau and agricultural weather. It's all on the Friday edition of your Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL AM 580, a broadcasting service of the College of Media at Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Friday afternoon, prices settled like this in Kansas City May wheat. 9.53 and 3 quarters down 21. July, 9.67 down 13. At the Chicago Board of Trade, May wheat, 8.96 and a half down 26 and a half. July, 9.10 and a half down 25 and 3 quarters. December, 9.38 down 25 and a quarter. May corn, 5.84 and a quarter down 10. July, 5.97 and a half down 10. September, 6.05 and a half down 8 and 3 quarters. December, 6.04 down 7 and 1 quarter. May beans, 13.32 and a half down 23 and a half. July, 13.49 and a quarter down 23 and a half. August, 13.38 down 22. November, 12.62 and a half down 8 and a half. May soybean, 344.50 down 7.70. July, 348.30 down 6.70. May soybean oil, 59.94 down 23. July, 60.69 down 21. April live cattle, 88.70 up 22 and one half. June, 89.77 and a half down 2.5. April feeders, 99.50 up 37 and a half. And April lean hogs, 58.95 down 22 and a half. And those are the settlement prices today in Kansas City and in Chicago. Taking a look at outside markets, May crude oil at 110.20 is up 9 cents. June, 109.50 is down 7. The CRB index at 407.39 is down 114. U.S. dollar, 71.86, off 25 cents. The Dow Jones at 12.365 is off just over 216 points. The silver contract for May today, 17.69, down 35 cents. The gold contract for June at 927, down $4.80, and the S&P 500 at 1338 is off almost 21 points. Mike Sola tells us a tornado watch is in effect in northern Indiana until 9 o'clock Eastern time tonight, and wind advisories are in effect in southwestern, central, and northeastern Illinois and in the northern half of Indiana until this evening. Tonight in the north, mostly cloudy with scattered snow showers. Elsewhere, mostly cloudy with a few showers, lows ranging from 30 to 45 degrees. And then on Saturday, cloudy and colder with scattered showers mixed with snow in the north, an inch or two of accumulation possible in far northern locations. Highs ranging from 36 degrees in northwestern Illinois to 52 degrees in southern Indiana. Joining us now for a look at the futures market is Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana. Good afternoon, Chuck.
Good afternoon, Dave. And actually, the sun's even out over here in Indiana this afternoon, so quite a change.
We can use all the sun we can get as it's continued to trend to the wet side and traders hanging on every forecast. What do we make of today's sell-off after what had been a pretty good week? Is this just some profit-taking ahead of the weekend or the start of something for next week?
I think at this point we'd have to just call it profit-taking. Dave, we had a really good week, as you said. There's some ideas, you know, the weather is supposed to straighten out at least next week and head towards a drier, warmer pattern. Some of the traders were talking about that. But I think really, you know, with the volatility in this market, guys, we're just taking money off the table and they'll start all over again Sunday night and Monday.
Well, you're a producer. Are you thinking that you're going to get into the field in your neck of the woods anytime soon?
A week from today, if it doesn't rain and we see some good windy drying days, some of the lighter soils you could maybe pick and choose some fields to get into, Dave. But overall, the low ground has got water standing in it, and I think the further south you go, the worse it is.
Turn your attention then to some particulars. Let's begin with the corn. What is your analysis there today?
You know, we made some all-time highs this week. The other factor that came into play, again, I think when we look ahead, drying weather, I think, as producers, we've got to recognize when the tractors do roll, and they will roll someday, the market's putting premium in it now. And when we do see a drying forecast, that tends to pull some of the money out of the market. So I'm not too discouraged with today's action, but again, part of the plan would be, again, as we've talked all winter, producers need to be able to do something about this rally, and certainly at record highs, we're in a zone here to be doing some things before we get out in the field.
How much longer do you think that short-term we might see a six in front of these prices?
I think until we see that there's a good, clear stretch of weather where a big part of the country can get out in the field, I think that's where it comes in. That week of the 21st gets critical. We kind of know the weather of next week, but we come in here and see the week of the 21st, the 22nd is going to be another drying, clear week. I think the market's going to feel a little bit uncomfortable to stay up here too high with the prospects of guys getting out in the field.
Let's then turn your attention to the soybean market, where it was a very impressive week. May gaining 55.5 cents on the week. The Noves gaining 38.75 cents on the week. Is this more than speculative money at this point?
I think so. I think the South Americans' inability to export with the problems in Brazil and then maybe in Argentina again with the strikes going on, it showed up. We had good exports in beans this week, so I think world buyers are coming back to the U.S. as the only source that they can get some beans. The dollar is weaker. That also helped us. So kind of a surprising rally to a lot of farmers out there. But one thing, again, to mention, we know a lot of farmers are really disappointed on that big break, Dave, and this has given them another opportunity. So we've talked to guys this week about doing something with this rally rather than, you know, kind of watching it go by.
I'm wondering if you want to roll up some puts that you might have made in both corn and beans.
Yes, I think so. You got to trail this market up. What we've been trying to emphasize is sell into the rallies, take advantage of those rallies, roll up, as you said. Again, we've had a lot of guys come in this week that can't sell to the local elevator in the cash side of the equation, so they're interested in using put options. We bought a lot of put options this week, Dave, for guys who, again, hadn't got out in the field, but this gives them an opportunity to catch up on their marketing.
Are you of the mindset that this bean rally will continue next week? I mean, we did try the 50-day moving average, and there wasn't much above it the first time we touched it.
Yeah, very good point. I think that was a technical target we talked about all along, getting that 50-day moving average. I think we kind of ran out of time this week. We accomplished a goal. We got there. I think we come in next week and that strike's still going on in South America. The dollar is weaker. We could punch above there and maybe add another 50, 60 cents to this market. But again, then we're getting up into that $14 territory, getting up maybe to 68% retracements out of the low on this move up. So another move higher next week would certainly indicate to us to be really ready to do something.
Bears are firmly in control of the wheat market. The July, down 81 cents on the week. You look at the charts, looks like you have a sort of a technical pendant there. And I'm beginning to wonder if we're on our way to another leg down, maybe to the $8 level. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think so. I think we've got a market here that's really struggling. I think you can put it in the context that wheat was the first one to show the excitement, the big bull, and now it's kind of dropped into third place. You also got to remember we've got a harvest approaching on a wheat. A new wheat crop will become available. There was some moisture out in the Plain States. That's going to help their crop out there. Maybe a little bit too much wet weather on the soft red wheat, but again, if we dry out, we're going to have probably a pretty decent crop. So I think wheat's really struggling here to get anything good going towards the upside next week.
Since the hogs and pigs report, it looks to me like cash has been the leader and it maybe has helped futures find a bottom. Is that the case, and what are you looking for from futures in the next couple of weeks?
Yeah, I think the hog market's kind of interesting. You know, cheap prices have kind of cured themselves. We've got strong exports over in the hog market. Bellies were up sharply. The weak dollar also helps those hogs. So I think you find a product that's too cheap in the world market or the U.S. market, the demand kicks in. That's fortunate for the hog guys. Hopefully we can get them through this period of this low profitability. And some good recovery. The futures can continue to go. Again, maybe a spot for guys that have hogs to look at put options or getting some sales levels locked in where they can make a little bit of money.
And we were looking today very closely at fat cattle as well as the live cattle trade, because we were kind of thinking that just maybe the new people entering the market were sort of kind of a weakish long, but we didn't see them exit today.
No, they hung in there real well. Part of that might be we've seen kind of an opposite reaction when the grains are down, especially corn, and we see the livestock hold together and have a better tone to them. When corn is firm, then the livestock seem to have struggled a lot of times. So, yeah, pretty good performance over in the livestock today, and hopefully that can continue. Again, I think guys that are in the livestock industry need to be defensive going through this summer growing season, at least till we know what size the crop is. They need to be able to protect it of their input costs and then get some good hedges on if we can get the price high enough over in the futures market of both cattle and hogs.
And before I let you go, give us what you're looking at as some of your key indicators for where futures may go next week, and I'm mostly particular wanting to know about the grain.
I think we need to hold the support. We need to see these lows that we made today hold. I think the forecast is ultimately really important. Certainly that South American situation going on, we got to watch that and make sure that those guys keep striking, or if that seems to be settled, that probably look for some softening in the bean market. And also the technical side of that 50-day moving average is probably critical to get above that and close above that for a day or two.
Thank you very much, Chuck.
Okay, have a good weekend, Dave. Thank you.
Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities. He is in Lafayette, Indiana.
Thank you to the more than 1,000 of you who pledged more than $181,000 to WILO Radio during our just-ended spring fundraiser. We'd like to welcome 105 new members to the Friends of WILL. Thanks for helping make a real difference. And if for some reason you didn't get a chance to make a contribution, you can make one anytime at willpledge.org. Again, many thanks.
In agricultural news, the House-Senate conferee meeting on the Farm Bill yesterday was more show than substance. The session lasted just an hour and tended to emphasize the gap between positions of House and Senate members. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi appointed 49 legislators to the Farm Bill conference, but only 14 are from the Agriculture Committee. By contrast, the Senate has just 11 Farm Bill conferees. Farm Bill watchers say the conference is so large and diverse that it has little chance of reaching a realistic compromise. House conferees suggested a farm bill $5.5 billion above baseline yesterday. Senators say they will hold the line on $10 billion. The House wants to pay for offsets by requiring that credit card issuers report to the IRS payments that they make to merchants. The White House says that's not an option. USDA has billed Hallmark Packing and Westland Meat Company $67 million for expenses associated with the largest beef recall in U.S. history. USDA says further costs are coming for destroying the beef and resupplying affected schools in the National School Lunch Program. USDA officials say the total expense could top $117 million. USDA officials say if Hallmark and Westland can't pay, taxpayers will pick up the bill. U.S. farm and business groups expressed concern yesterday that a showdown between the White House and U.S. House could cripple the ability to negotiate future free trade pacts. Thursday, the House changed fast-track rules, eliminating a 90-day clock after President George Bush sent a free trade proposal Tuesday to the House for consideration. U.S. Trade Representative Susan Schwab says House Democrats, quote, gutted 34 years of trade law and trade practice. The Army Corps of Engineers is seeking an additional $110 million a year in user fees to help pay for construction of locks and dams along the nation's waterways. Under the proposal sent to the House and Senate, barges designed to carry commercial cargo would pay a user fee for each passage through a lock, beginning at $30 to $50 in fiscal year 2009 and increasing to $48 to $80 in fiscal year 2012. And U.S. officials are meeting today in Seoul over talks about South Korea restrictions on U.S. beef imports. In 2006, South Korea eased a ban on U.S. beef, but it allows only meat from cattle 30 months or younger and excludes bones and other specified risk materials. South Korea has suspended imports several times after discovering banned material. A South Korean official says the latest talks will be open-ended and could last several days. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson's team of experts and strategic consulting approach utilize the latest technology. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
In this week's Farm Bureau commentary, Shelby County's Amy Rochkiss says Illinois young farmers are optimistic about the future of agriculture.
More than 400 young farmers from across Illinois recently gathered in Springfield to learn about the latest advances and opportunities in agriculture. Perhaps most importantly, these energetic, hopeful young farmers got to share farm experiences and provide possible solutions to each other's challenges at home. While attending the Illinois Farm Bureau's annual conference for farmers between the ages of 18 and 35, participants participated in an informal survey to gauge their views of agriculture and its future. While expenses are way up, higher grain prices are one reason many farmers in agriculture are feeling better about the future. After years of break-even grain prices, these young Farm Bureau members indicated they believe they have solid futures in agriculture. The availability of land and farm facilities and overall profitability remain the top challenges, they said. However, they also believe they are better off today than 5 years ago, and they are more optimistic. Following land and facility availability and overall profitability are the top two concerns young farmers cite: increasing urbanization and loss of farmland, government regulations, and the availability and cost of health care as the next most pressing challenges. Land and facility availability and overall profitability have ranked high in the most previous surveys. Once again, the vast majority of young farmers said they are more optimistic about farming than 5 years earlier. When asked if they feel better off now than they did 5 years ago, 90% indicated they do. Back in 2000, 70% said they were better off than 5 years previously. The informal survey provided other insights into the thinking of today's young farmers. Two-thirds said they believe farm income should come totally from domestic and international markets, while 33% said farm income should be supplemented by federal farm program payments. For the first time, young farmers were asked if state and local issues, such as property taxes, concern them more than federal issues, and 75% responded in an affirmative. Taking care of the environment and practicing conservation stewardship are also important to today's young farmers. 55% said they practice conservation tillage in their fields, and 49% rotate three or more crops. 40% use soil and tissue analysis, and 36% employ integrated pest management and field scouting. Taken together, these findings should give hope to those who care about rural America and hope young folks do too. The hundreds of young farmers who traveled to Springfield are proof the future of agriculture is in caring and competent hands. This is Amy Rochkiss with the Shelby County Farm Bureau.
Amy Rochkiss's comments are own and reflect her opinions. They do not necessarily reflect the views of the station. If you would like to submit a commentary of your own, call us at 217-333-0850 or email us at willagstaff@uiuc.edu. Joining us now with cash grain analysis is Bruce Bostert of the Ludlow Co-op in Ludlow, Illinois. Good afternoon, Bruce.
Good afternoon.
When do you think that producers will get into the fields in your neck of the woods?
Boy, first I got to get it to stop raining for a while. But we were getting to where before this last round things were drying up enough to where you could at least walk across the field or take a four-wheeler across it without going in. And after picking up, I don't know, in excess of another inch and a half, I don't know what to expect now.
When this was a pretty good week in the futures market, and the basis was halfway decent. It looked like it was firming somewhat. Did producers make corn sales this week?
Not much on corn. We saw a little bit of interest, but the movement was relatively light out there. Soybeans, we saw some continued improvement on soybean basis. Cash sales then were again real light. I just had one guy come through the office wishing he'd sold some soybeans yesterday before it sold off. So maybe if we pop up above that $13 level again, we'll buy some more beans. The problem is they are already pretty good sellers for new crop corn. It's hard to get too excited about selling any additional until you think you can get back out in the field.
And if you were going to be a seller of new crop corn, what is your sense that producers are wanting to get?
I think that right now a lot of our guys for new crop really are sellers or sold to where they're comfortable. It's more of a timing issue. You know, they're happy with a 550, 560 new crop price, but they're comfortable with the level they have sold. So I think that it's more a case of getting time behind us, get the calendar into June, have the crop in the field and looking good, and then I think we'll get another round of new crop sales.
What are the most popular choices for their marketings? What kind of options are they using?
Just right now, just plain flat price scales. We're still offering flat price bids out through March of next year, and basically a lot of your alternatives have slipped by the wayside, and you're looking at flat price. But that's what the bottom line has always been. It's just a way to get to flat price, and right now I think trading flat price is easier than trading basis.
What do you make of this rally in futures in the soybeans?
I'm really confused by the
a lot of people are
by the soybean futures rally. I mean, I can see basis coming up on it because we've shifted some demand back to the U.S. and we're still crushing soybeans. But when we expand our carryout number and know where we're at, and you're sitting there worried about wet weather, it's very counterintuitive to think down corn, up beans.
And go ahead and give us your prices today.
We are at $5.59 on nearby corn, $5.57 for new crop, beans $12.87 nearby, and $11.76 on new crop.
Thank you very much, Bruce.
You
have a grand day today. That's Bruce Bostert. He is with the Ludlow Co-op in Ludlow, Illinois, and Bruce joins us every Friday afternoon here on the Closing Market Report.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. A Rantoul man will serve 75 years in prison for the shooting death of another man last August. 22-year-old Jonas Bradley was found guilty in February of killing Christopher Napier outside an apartment in Rantoul. The Champaign County State's Attorney's Office's Bradley sentence was extended beyond the maximum sentence of 60 years, since the gun used in the crime was also used in two armed robberies and a sexual assault that Bradley was also involved in. The Land of Lincoln Legal Assistance Foundation will be providing a wider range of services from their new offices on North 1st Street near the Champaign Police Station. Land of Lincoln already provides legal help for low-income residents in 14 counties in areas like family law, landlord disputes, and health care. But managing attorney Valerie McWilliams says they'll now have space for seminars on tax preparation, credit management, among other subjects. Dedication ceremonies for the new offices are being held this afternoon. Fire destroyed the campaign office of presidential candidate Hillary Clinton in Terre Haute, Indiana, early this morning. Terre Haute Fire Department spokesman John Gardner says two people were inside when the blaze broke out, but they escaped without injuries. Former President Bill Clinton stopped outside the burned-out office this morning before heading to the small town of Clinton, Indiana, to deliver a speech. Senator Barack Obama said in Indianapolis today that the nation's system of public financing of presidential elections is creaky and needs to be updated. Obama has raised a whopping $234 million from about 1.3 million donors. There's a whole lot of Lincoln going on in Alton this weekend. Dozens of Abraham Lincoln lookalikes are expected to converge on the Mississippi River City as part of the yearly Association of Abraham Lincoln Presenters Conference. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
And I'm Dave Dickey, AM 5 Agriculture. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Steve Hilberg is away, joining us now for a look at the agricultural weather, is state climatologist Jim Angel. Good afternoon, Jim.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Why don't you start, before we talk about planting windows and all that kind of good stuff, with an overview of what we've seen weather-wise in, say, the last 45 days or so, with an eye toward precipitation.
Yeah, if you look at precipitation over the last month and a half or so, going all the way back to March 1, we certainly have seen a lot of rain. In March, we had statewide averages about 4.5 inches, but it ranged quite a bit from about an inch or so up in the northern part of the state to up to 10 inches in some places down in southern Illinois. And it's been more of the same story in April. It's maybe a little more widespread with now in the last week and a half or so that of April here that northern Illinois has gotten about 2 to 3 inches, and the rest of us have gotten further south have gotten 3 to 6 inches. So just a very wet month, kind of on the cool side, you know, kind of cloudy, so we don't have too many bright sunny days. We're getting a little sunshine today, which helps.
All right, then turn your attention to the week ahead. As far as I can tell, it looks like one of the drier weeks that we've seen in a while.
That's right, yeah. If you look at it after we get past this weekend, there's a chance of showers and maybe a few snowflakes over the weekend, but the amount shouldn't be too much. I think the potential is only for about a quarter of an inch of rain or thereabouts. So not too bad this weekend. Then it's going to turn drier. So it looks like to about Friday of next week before the next system rolls in. So we've got, you know, kind of Sunday through Friday there to kind of dry out at least a little bit with once we get past the weekend, the temperatures are going to warm up. So by midweek, we should be start seeing highs in the 60s and lows in the 40s. And that's about where we should be for this time of year.
And what about the second week of a two-week forecast?
Yeah, if you look at week number two, it's maybe a little bit better. We're going to see warmer conditions. There's still, you get out to that increased chance of above normal precipitation. So I think that we're going to see the continuation of this fairly active storm track over the next 2 weeks. So we'll probably get another shot or two of precipitation later on. But at least now we're finally starting to warm up a little bit, so we have a little bit of opportunity to dry out in between events.
Thanks, Jim.
You're welcome.
State climatologist Jim Angel.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Bob Baisdefer in Danville at 217-477-6016. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
And that's today's Closing Market Report. Be sure to tune in tomorrow morning for Commodity Week here on AM 580. That airs at 11:30 Central Time. And you can listen to today's futures analysis, cash grain analysis, and weather reports on the World Wide Web. Go to WILLAG.org and click on the audio analysis tab. This is Dave Dickey.